You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 8th of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, exactly 12 months to go, a year to the day before the US presidential election, we take an informed look at the candidates making the running, assess the economic issues that could define the race, and consider the market impact of potential different outcomes in November 2016. We start with John Savokol, who heads up the US Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C., which lobbies on issues of importance for UBS and works with clients to assist them on how issues on Capitol Hill could impact them. John explains his view on the frontrunners right now in both the Democrat and Republican camps.
I think the frontrunner on the Democratic side is certainly Hillary Clinton. I don't see any real obstacle to her nomination as the Democratic choice. I think on the Republican side, it's much less clear. I do believe that the current frontrunners, Donald Trump and Ben Carson, will fade. I think they will be competitive for a long time, but I think they will fade. And I think you'll ultimately see a race between some of the other candidates, such as Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. I think they will likely be in the top tier as we get closer to the beginning of next year.
Frontrunners-wise, it's a very clear picture, explains Kathleen Burke, Professor of Modern and Contemporary History at University College London. Well, on the Democrat side, at least.
The frontrunners are pretty obvious on the Democrat side, since there's only two of them. Hillary Clinton, of course, who is remarkably experienced and certainly looks presidential. Her co-runner, one might say, Bernie Sanders, a Democratic socialist who has a very great following amongst the young and the more liberal spectrum, is not really a possibility. But he at least gives Hillary Clinton some competition. The Republican ones is very strange. I mean, the two top candidates in the polls are Donald Trump and Ben Carson. Donald Trump, it's hard for anyone not to know him. Some people have pointed out that perhaps he's doing this just for the fun of it, although it seems a pretty expensive game. Ben Carson, well, wants to be president, is inexperienced in politics. There's nothing like starting at the top as a candidate, and has made some very strange comments. But the more serious, one hopes the more serious candidates, Mark Rubio seems to be the front runner right now, as much as anything, who's a senator from Florida, seems to be overwhelming his mentor, Jeb Bush, former governor. And then there's the whole other side of the spectrum, Ted Cruz, who is extremely right-wing and has a sort of piece of steel in his heart, one might say. And then a whole other range of them. Chris Christie, for example, New Jersey, who is the liberal Republican spectrum. John Kasich, former governor of Ohio, who is also a very impressive candidate. Need I go on through all 16?
Xenia Wickett is U.S. project director at Chatham House. When it comes to the frontrunners, she explains, it's the battle between Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush on the Republican side that is most compelling.
On the Democratic side, it's easy. It's Hillary Clinton. We don't need to talk about that any further. There was a slight chance that Biden would get in. He was the only credible alternative. So it will be Hillary, notwithstanding any black swan that we're not aware of right now. On the Republican side, there's a real battle taking place, in my view, between Bush, Jeb Bush, and Marco Rubio. They both, to some extent, get some of the same crowd. They're both kind of representing a somewhat conservative but not very hard right, not the Ted Cruz or the Huckabee, not the kind of out-of-nowhere Trump and Carsons, but also not the somewhat centrist position as well. And so whether Rubio or Jeb wins out in the end, or Bush wins out in the end, that's very much still to be decided.
There is this sense of a fractured debate within the GOP. Some of it's driven by demographics, some by international events and dynamics, as Mark Haefeli, the Global Chief Investment Officer at UBS Wealth Management, explains.
The Republican Party, it's obviously going through some enormous changes. Some of those have to do with the Republican Party itself and what it stands for. Some of it has to do with the changing demographics in the United States. And some of it has to do with just the things that are going on internationally. I think one of the lessons you get from Europe is that when your demographics change, when you move more towards austerity and the role of government is not simply just to hand out more and more money, then you start to get higher voter dissatisfaction, and in the parliamentary system, you get much faster changes in government. And so those trends are only going to increase in U.S. politics. We see it more obviously in the House, where we have more frequent elections, but it's also now shown up in the Republican Party with no really kind of clear front runner. And probably if Hillary Clinton didn't have the support that she's garnered and have the whole Clinton machine behind her, you know, in future elections or in other Democratic elections, we would probably expect those to be a little more fractured as well.
There are a raft of possible outcomes then, but what could some of these alternatives mean when it comes to the US economy? Kathleen Burke explains the range of possible permutations and how they involve everything from healthcare to foreign policy to the critical issue, especially for Republicans, of pulling back the state.
You have a real split in approaches to the economy. If it's Hillary Clinton, she has respect for what the state can do. She will certainly continue with Obamacare. She is a strong foreign policy person, which actually, in economic terms, is interesting because it may mean that she's will have more time for things such as opening more economic relationships with Europe, for example. Although, as a Democrat, she's also responsive to trade union and other worries about jobs. But the real difference is in the Republican side of the spectrum. Half of them want to stomp the state. He who governs least governs best, one might say. And therefore, the idea is to pull the state back, which means also, of course, possibly pulling the state back from regulating the economy. And the other part, of course, the more liberal Republicans see government moderation of the economy as a good thing. But the thing is, how the economy will respond, there's two things. First of all, the U.S. is not an island, and it will respond depending on what happens in China, depending on international economic waves, one might say. And the thing one also has to remember is presidents by themselves cannot do very much, as quite clear with Obama's difficulties. The president proposes, Congress disposes, and no one can really control the economy.
What does Xenia Wickett make of the economic battleground?
There's a couple of issues there. I mean, first of all, you have to remember that Paul Ryan has just taken over as Speaker of the House. He said he wants to work on tax reform. So that's, you know, we could see things in the next year. When you get either a Republican or a Democratic president, it depends a little bit on what happens in the House. Well, the House will go Republican, but in the Senate. But it's going to be trade. If you've got a Republican, if you've got Rubio or Bush, they will push forward on trade, particularly if you've got a Republican Senate as well. You'll see much more movement than you're liable to see if you've got a Democrat. Even Clinton, who, although she has said she wouldn't support TPP, really would support TPP. This is a political move she's making. The other side of it is the kind of tax spending side of the equation. Boehner, when he stepped down as House Speaker, solved a number of problems until 2017. But we're going to see those problems come back. Again, if you've got a Democrat, you've got exactly the same issue we've had right now, which is slightly more spending, more taxation. If you've got Rubio or Bush, you're really going to see small government come back, or at least the attempt, therefore.
There seems to be a deal of uncertainty around the likely direction of travel, particularly on the Republican side, in terms of personnel. Given that, how do you weigh up the economic impact of what different outcomes might be? John Savicol explains.
Most of the candidates are very familiar to us. We know most of the candidates. We've worked with most of the candidates for a number of years in Washington, particularly Secretary Clinton and the two senators who I just mentioned, who would be at the top of the Republican side as next year looms. So I think our job is to make sure that we know what they're thinking. We have an input into their thinking when appropriate, and that as the election becomes closer, we're in a position to know what they might do relevant to our world and to be ready for that. So I think those activities are ongoing now. We're looking at every candidate trying to determine how they would impact UBS. But most of these candidates are well known to us, and we've worked with them over the years.
The post-election balance of power will be interesting. If the Republicans hold Congress and a Democrat wins the election, for example, that would lead to a likely low economic impact, says Mark Haefeli. But healthcare could be different, an area of volatility and opportunity.
If you take kind of the baseline where you have the Republicans controlling Congress and you have, say, the Democrats taking the election again, I don't think it's going to have very much impact at all on some of the larger issues that are facing the United States on the economic front. The issue of debt to GDP, the issue of demographics, those things are kind of longer, the entitlements, those things are longer term trends that are very difficult for any one president, particularly in one election cycle, to change. But I think the issues around health care that Hillary has become known for and that President Obama have become known for are an area that have been a source of volatility in the markets and are likely to be both a concern and an opportunity going forward for the markets.
We often talk about the challenges of pricing risk when discussing a host of different variables. Is this a key challenge in D.C. then for John Savicol and his colleagues?
It is, because I think most people, when they run businesses, they haven't always thought of legislative or political risk as a risk relevant to what happens in the business. But I think now most people are of the view that you can throw political risk into the bucket of risks that managers think of every day. And I think in Washington, you clearly have risks relating to each of the candidates who may evolve, but also just as a general rule, Washington has really been subject to much dysfunction over the last couple of years. And frankly, there's no easy path out of that. So I think for the foreseeable future, you are likely to see political risk in the form of bad policy or no policy or bad candidates with policies that may adversely affect the markets. You may see that evolve, and I think certainly that has to be considered a risk, just like any other legitimate risk for any business.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the markets. How could they be shaped by what happens 1 year from today? When talking about the markets, there are a number of bits of shorthand, credos if you will, here in London. Following the Tories' surprise election success, we were reminded that the markets like a Conservative government. Is there a similar mantra on Capitol Hill? John Savicol says there are, but they are less about party affinity and more concerned with stability.
I think the markets generally prefer candidates who they think will not be too disruptive. So it's not so much of a Democrat-Republican thing. It's more of a candidate who will promote and act in a way that the economy will be more stable than less stable. So I think that the markets would probably look in a weary way toward the extreme candidates, whether they are Bernie Sanders on the left or on the right, people like Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Ted Cruz. I think they would be concerned about candidates like that. They would be much more comfortable with a Hillary Clinton or a Marco Rubio or a Jeb Bush or people on the Republican side who are more mainstream. So I think they look at that and then they look at the overall political situation and determine if anything can get done. So if there's divided government, then that would result in probably less of an ability for Washington to solve problems. And increasingly, they're attaching a market risk to that. So, you know, that's another thing that I think the markets think about when they look at elections.
And Mark Haefeli, too, stresses this notion that the markets prefer a split between the president and the House, as this ensures stability.
The first thing I'd say is that it's very fun to watch this election from Europe, where it's considerably less breathless and, you know, more subdued. The focus here is more on how is it going to balance out maybe with the House and the president. You know, will they be split again? Because that's what investors like. The split means very little change, and that's the smoother rides for markets. I think the mood over here, maybe because Europe tends to be a little more towards the Democratic side than the Republican side, is that it's Hillary's election to lose. And I think that the Republican lineup is so fractured right now, it's very convenient and appealing to see it that way. But given the level of discontent and the big choices ahead for the United States, I'm sure it'll get much tighter before this is through.
Mark Haefeli goes on to explain why it's critical to remember here that there are a number of wider geopolitical issues that are likely to impact and probably preoccupy the markets well beyond US borders.
I think gridlock plays well in markets because markets hate uncertainty. So I think that's the baseline expectation, that the markets don't need to be particularly concerned about U.S. politics now that the Speaker of the House election is over and we've made it through another debt limit funding cycle. So kind of politics is off the burner for a while. It may come back on. But for many global investors, when they look at political events, things like the UK's continued involvement in the evolving European project, whether they stay in the EU or not, things like how Europe combines or doesn't combine to be a greater fiscal union, issues of how China deals politically with the massive transition that's going on there, those are the larger political issues that people are watching. Now, that can be good or bad. They can be right about that, that the U.S. situation won't be the most contentious political issue that we face, or they could be horribly wrong and it will be a source of volatility for the market.
Mark Haefeli. Here with a final thought from Washington, D.C. is John Savicol. We asked him a nice, easy question to close. Who'll be in the White House from 2016?
It's important to, when you look at elections, is this, in elections usually fall in two categories. Is it a change election where voters really want to see change? They're upset. They want to see a president go in a different direction. They want to see Congress go in a different direction. They want to see something different than they've seen. Or are they so happy with the situation that they like the status quo, or they think that the status quo is better than what the candidates offer? I believe this is a change election, and because of that, I think that what will happen is Hillary Clinton will win the Democratic nomination. The Republican nomination will be very competitive, but it will ultimately be won by Senator Marco Rubio, and that Marco Rubio will win the election unless, and this is a big unless there's a Republican who runs as a third-party candidate, which you might see with a Donald Trump or a Ted Cruz, or if the Republicans nominate another person who is considered more extreme, such as a Trump, Carson, or Cruz. If they nominate one of those people, I think Hillary Clinton would win. If it's Marco Rubio, then I see a Marco Rubio victory in 2016.
And that's John Savicol bringing us to the end of this 57th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again, find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.